Okay. We're going to pick up in JavaScript and go to the math facts loops. So we're going to look at these loop comparisons. Okay, guys, my turn. Math facts while loop is where I'm going to start. And I think that's the right one, but I am appropriately out of things that I don't know. Okay. So I have here a loop, and I chose to have the loop go only while count was less than or equal to 3. And I chose to start count at 1, and I chose to up count by 1 every time I went through. So again, the 3 things that I have to make a loop are, I need to have the set, the check, and the change. And those all act on what is called the control. And in this case, count is the control. Other times, other things could be a control. So I'm setting count equal to 1. I'm saying do while count is less than or equal to 3. And then I'm saying add 1 to count every time you go through the loop. So I'm saying here, start out, and I have set up count. And count is going to be equal to 1, and answer is just there. Okay, and as I said before, better technique to define answer, but not a necessary one. And a lot of people do what I do, which is, I know it's going to define it for me, and so I let it. Okay? So I say, while count is less than a 3, answer equals count plus count. So it can figure out easily that answer is a 2. And then we write out 1 concatenated with, or plus in this case is concatenated. 1 concatenated with a plus sign. Concatenated with 1 again, concatenated with an equal sign, concatenated with 2 for answer, concatenated with a break. And again, the break couldn't be written as BR without the slash. And so it writes 1 plus 1 equals 2, and then it breaks down to the next line. And at that point, it adds 1 to count. Always when it hits the end of a loop, it goes back, if the condition is up at the beginning, it goes back and checks to see if it should do the loop again. Well, count is a 2, and it says do it while count is less than or equal to 3, so it knows it should do it again. So it goes through, and count plus count is answer is now becomes 4, and it writes out 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then it goes down and adds 1 to count, and count's now a 3. It's less than or equal to 3. Yes, it is. So it does 6 into answer, because count plus count is answer, and then it writes out 3 plus 3 equals 6. Now when it goes down, it now adds 1 to count. When it goes back to check, count is no longer less than or equal to 3, and so it's out of here. Okay? Questions? Okay, so that's just a very simple loop. Okay? Okay. So what about if I wanted to change this and say I want to take in a user answer and then I want to check and see if the user got it right and respond to the user every time that this happened. So I want to come in here and I want to have count a center equal to 3, answer equals so that I know what the right answer is. And then I want to prompt the user and ask them what they think the problem is. Okay. So I need to write out the problem, but I need to write the problem out without giving the answer. Okay. So what I'm going to do is inside the loop, I want to calculate the answer. I want to show the problem. I want to show the problem. I want to take in user input. So I want to get the user answer. Then I want to check, okay, the user answer against the answer that I calculated. So is answer equal to the user answer? And if it is, then I want to give out some kind of positive message. And if not, I want to give out a wrong message. Okay, and then I want to continue on and add one to count. Okay, so go in and try to fix this program up so that you check and see if the user did it correctly. Okay, so inside the loop, I want to do all of this. So go in and try to change the inside content of the loop so that you do this. Prompting the user and then checking the user. So make a copy of the program in Notepad and then start making changes to it. Okay, there's enough people looking confused. What doesn't make sense? I may not be making sense today. If you have a question, don't just look confused, ask. That's why I need to put in some data. If you have questions, please ask. Firefox is better about showing it as it goes along. That's why I use Firefox. Chrome, you know, holds the stuff until, which doesn't give you good feedback necessarily. In the class where I deal with JavaScript a lot, we get in ways around that, but for now, Firefox is just easiest, but yes. Now we make an error and see if it comes back with the error message.
Yeah.
It does. Firefox will go down that path because they tend to be copycats of Chrome because they think Chrome is more popular, and so they copy them. And it irritates me because they take the good stuff away. Or maybe I just don't give up easy. I want to see the way. I want to see as it goes along. Why wait? Okay, has anybody got an answer? I've seen one. Anybody got an answer? Where's the problem? Do you not know what to do? Or is it not working? Okay, how many haven't a clue what to do? There's a couple of honest people. How many are lying? Okay. So, I went in and I said, first I wanted to calculate answer. Well, I'd already done that. Then I said I wanted to show the problem. Well, I didn't want to show the answer, so I just went in and took out the plus followed by answer out of there. Because I don't want it to show the answer, right? Don't want it to show the answer. Then I went in and said, okay, user answer. I want to take in the user answer to see what they think the answer is. Okay, well, I put up the problem, 1 plus 1. I want to see what they think the answer is. So I'm saying user answer, and then how do I write the prompt?
Parentheses.
Yep.
And then close it.
Well, I need to put in a message, right? What is your answer? And then I can put a 0 there if I want to or not. So I've now taken in the user answer, okay? So now I have 2 things. I have the right answer, and I have the user answer. Okay? So now I have to compare them. So what do I use to compare? If. So what would the if statement be here? If. Yeah. Right. If user answer 2 equal signs, because 1 equal sign means the assignment sign, so 2 equal signs means I'm coming up with the answer, I'm comparing them, and I want to compare it to answer. Okay, and it doesn't matter which I write. I could have written if answer equals user answer. Or I can write if user answer equals answer. I just want to compare those 2 things and see if they're equal. So if they're equal, I'm going to put in a curly brace and I'm going to say document write. Yes. You got the correct answer, or something like that. And if the answer, if it's an else, I'm going to say add 1 to count because I want to keep going through the loop. So I've got now ask the user for their answer and say if user answer equals answer, write out 1 message, otherwise write out another message. Does that make sense? Okay. But notice it helped me at least to write out the steps over here that I needed to go through. Okay? Okay. Then I have a do while that does the same thing. Okay, the do while does the same thing. Only it asks the condition down below. Okay. So, why don't you go in and fix that one? Now that I fixed the other one, you go and fix this one. I've got this going. I will be back in a minute. Thank you. sorry about that. I'm not well yet. So, what did you decide to do with this one? Okay, you still have to do the same things. So I have to come in here and put them inside. So I'm going to put in, okay, concatenated with equals. Okay, so I still have to put in the prompt. And I still have to put in the if, right? The same way that I did them in the other one. So did you get it working in this one? It was kind of your second chance. Yeah, it's working? Pardon?
I'm lost.
You're lost, okay. On what?
So, is the prompt what the system asks you first, or?
No, the prompt is what you are asking the user.
All right.
So I am saying here with the prompt, okay, so I'm saying I want the user answer. I want a user answer. And I'm going to prompt that user answer and say, enter the, only that should have been a regular parenthesis, enter your answer. Okay, so I'm prompting the user and saying, enter your answer. And that will bring up a prompt. Okay. And then the user presumably types something in, and actually they have to at least hit the enter to go on. And at that point, I now have a user answer. And so my goal here is to compare, is the answer equal to the user answer? Okay, because that's how I know it's right, right? I know what the real answer is. The user has now typed in what they think their answer is. If I compare those two, I'm going to know if they got it right or not. Right? So I'm saying if answer equals user answer, then I'm going to document right, correct. Okay, so I just wrote document write correct. Else, I'm going to document. And maybe I want to tell them the answer. And so I could say the answer is, and then put a comma there and put out answer. So I've now told them what the answer is. Okay. So I've said, okay, here is, I'm doing this for count equal to one. So answer is equal to one plus one or two. I'm document writing out count plus count equals, so I'm giving them the problem. Then I'm prompting them to tell me what the answer is. Then I'm comparing the answer that's correct with what they typed in. And if they have the same thing, then I write out document write correct. Otherwise, I write out document right, the answer is, and I tell them what the answer is. I got one nod. Two nods.
Yeah.
No, as soon as it is, it needs to be declared as a variable?
It should be, because I use it first to put something into it, I get away without doing it. But in good, if I were being good, I would come up here and declare variable answer and variable user answer. And I should always be doing that. It's sloppy not to, but I'm afraid I get sloppy sometimes. Maybe more forgetful than sloppy. I just forget to declare. So if I save this, unless I did something, AAA in class. So I'm going to try running this now. And my biggest concern is when I fix things up, I took the concatenates out. Yeah, I got that. That's supposed to be a concatenate with equals. Well, I don't even need to have equals. So I can just have concatenates with BR, right? Count, concatenated with a plus sign, concatenated with count, concatenated with BR. So that's correct. Okay, so now I'm going to come over here and I'm going to open the menu bar by right-clicking. And I'm going to say File, Open File. And I'm going to go to the E drive. And it's AAA in class, except that I didn't save it with an HTML extension, apparently. So File, Save As. AAA in class. No, actually I did. All right. I just still don't like the way it showed that. Okay. So now I come back and I say File, Open File, and it's AAA in class, and it says the end of the math facts. Okay, so what did I do wrong, folks? We're going to end up debugging this because that's all it shows.
I think you're missing a semicolon after one of your prompts.
Okay, which one?
User answer prompt.
Yes, that would be a good place to start. Do you see anything else?
I think I see a colon instead of a semicolon somewhere.
That would be bad. Where is it?
That's a document, right? The else document, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Good. Okay, anybody see anything else? Okay, I'm out of it today, so it's your problem here.
Yep.
Ah, we caught them both. Okay, so we got what we need. So what is your answer? And I'm going to say 2. And it's coming back and saying correct. And I should have put a BR after the correct, because notice it says correct and then 2 plus 2 all on the same line. And I should have put a BR in there so that that didn't happen. Okay, now I say enter your answer. And And now I'm going to give the wrong answer. And it tells me the answer is 6. So other than my VR problem, that worked. Okay, I've got the problems out there, but they don't look very good that way. So I need to put in a VR so I can put in the VR right before my message. And then it will look nicer. Okay, so I'll do a refresh now, and I'll get a 2. And what did I do this time? I'm not doing this on purpose, but it's a wonderful thing. I got 1 + 1. Does anybody see what I did? VR is entered correctly, right?
Wouldn't it be after correct?
Doesn't matter. I mean, I wanted it to drop down before it wrote correct. If I put it after correct, it would drop down after it wrote correct. But that still shouldn't have made it not work.
Did you have a slash in the VR?
No, I definitely don't need that. That slash was for XHTML version of VR, and it's not done anymore. I have a slash on one of them,
yeah.
But that's not a problem either. It basically lets me go either way. All I did was add a BR in there.
Oh, it's because it's printing.
Oh, no. I do not see anything wrong with this. Enter your answer, 2. And you're probably right. I probably should have put it after one. Yeah, you're right. Because I was already skipping down before.
Yeah, so we need to skip down after the correct.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I can skip all over the place if I want to. Okay, that is not the one. Maybe part of the problem is I'm not running the right one. Maybe the other part of the problem is I should have stayed home in bed. Okay, enter your answer. 2, correct. 4, correct. 5, the answer is 6. That's working. Close enough for government work. Okay, so we got that working. And that's how we build debugging into the exercises, by counting on me to make some stupid mistakes. Okay, so now I want to go back on and look at nesting. And I really don't. Okay. So we're going to look at the programs, and we're looking at the nesting while loop now. The nested while loop. Okay? Now this one is kind of tricky. Okay, this one is kind of tricky. I've got a count, and I've got a count in, and I've got an answer. And notice I didn't define answer, but I defined count and count in, and I should have defined the answer. So I've got count in, and I've got answer. Now, notice that at the top, when I defined count in, I didn't give it a value. And that was on purpose, because I wanted to show where it's important that I set its value. And where it's important that I set its value is right before I enter the inner loop. And you'll see why as we go through this. So I started out and I said, okay, count is equal to 1. And then I said, define the variable count in, but don't give an initial value. And then I said, okay, well, count is less than or equal to 3, and it is, so I go into the loop. And as I go into the loop, the first thing it says is make count in equal to 1. So I did that. And then it says, now in this, have another loop, while count in is less than or equal to 3. So I go into that loop. And the answer says, answer equals count plus count in. So answer is a 2. So I then write out up there, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Then, because I'm in the inner loop, I add 1 to count in. Because when I have nested loops, I stay in the inner loop until I finish it. Okay. So I add 1 to count in, which should make it a 2. And then I loop back and check. I always loop back and check to see if it should be done again, if the condition is at the top. So is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I figure out answer, which is 3. I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. And it becomes a 3. I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I calculate answer to 4. And I say, okay, write out 1 plus 3 equals 4. And then add 1 to count in. Now when I go back, count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. So at that point, it drops out of the loop, adds 1 to count, and goes back to check to see if it should do that again. Okay? So it goes back. Count is still less than or equal to 3, so it says, now I'm going to drop down. And the first thing it sees is change count in back to 1. Because if I left count in at 4, it would never enter the inner loop. Because the inner loop is saying, only come in if count in is less than or equal to 3. If it was 4, it would never go in. So I set it to 1. Then I calculate answer at 3, and I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3, and I add 1 to count in. I loop back in the inner loop. Count in is less than or equal to 3. I say, okay, answer equals count plus count in, so it's now 4, and I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then I add 1 to count in. Loop back, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I make the answer of 5. And then I write out 2 plus 3 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in. When I loop back, it says, no, no, count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. And so I drop out and I add 1 to count. So count is now a 3. And then I go back to the outer loop. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yeah. Then I set count in to 1. And I go into the inner loop because count in is less than or equal to 3. Answer comes out at 4. And I write out 3 plus 1 equals 4. And I add 1 to count in, which makes it a 2. Then I loop back, count in is less than or equal to 3. So I say, okay, answer is now 5. I write out 3 plus 2 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in. And I go back, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes. I figure out answer is 3 plus 3 is 6. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6. And I add 1 to count in. And at that point, I go back, I go out, and I add 1 to count, which makes it 4. And then I loop back. Is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's 4 now. So I'm done. Okay. Did you stay with me and stay awake? Does it make sense? Do you see where the numbers came from? That's easy. Well, probably because you already did the last one. Okay, does that make sense? Do you have questions about how that works? Because that's tricky. Okay. The big thing is that notice I set the control right before I went into either of the loops. And I check the control at the beginning on each of them. And at the end of what I want to do, I increment or add 1 to the control. So this one I did this, then the while, and then I add 1. So I do the adding 1 to the control. Okay. Then I did this one also for the do loop. And again, it's the same thing, except that now I've put the control at the bottom. So my control is at the bottom. But other than that, it's exactly the same code. My for loop is kind of user friendly. And as I think I mentioned, for loops will work wonderfully when what you're doing is counting 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. They work beautifully. Because in the for loop, I have the set, the check, and the change all within parentheses in the for loop. So I say start I out at 1, check for I staying less than or equal to 3, every time through, add 1 to I. And so I don't have to do the add inside. Okay. And if you switch over and look at the one that has it nested, okay, you can see that I've got less code inside because I do the change on the outside. Okay. Yeah.
Which one's more common, the for loop or the...
Probably the while loop is the most common. That's the one people tend to use the most. But for something like this, I would say the for loop would be the one I would choose. Because it just does everything for me automatically. And then I don't have to remember to set everything, change everything, check everything. It does it automatically. Okay. The next one that I want to look at is the guessing game. And I did it again. So I'm going to skip a few things that we will look at, and then I want to go down to the guess number. One guess. Okay. So I say, any guess. Now I cheat. I tell you what the answer is right up there. Okay. So the answer is 3. So I know what my answer is. So if I guess 3, it says you got it. Okay, so here is the code for making that. Now, this isn't really a game yet, because I got one guess, and I either got it or didn't get it. But we're going to turn it into a full guessing game. The first line generates a random number. And this is the line that you write. And it's a lovely copy and paste. Variable, you can give it any name you want to. I called it the random number. And I have math law, math random. So within JavaScript, it has a function called random. And it has a function called floor, which basically means the base number without the decimals or something. And I said, I want a number. This is the one that's important, the 5 here. If I wanted a number between 1 and 25, I would put 25 there. If I wanted a number between 1 and 100, I'd put 100 there. Okay? The plus 1 at the end is because it starts with 0, and I want to start with 1. So the big, that's a copy and paste line except for the 5. This would get me a random number from 1 to 5. If I want a different group, I have to start out differently. So that generates a random number. Then I did a document write that wrote out the random number because I wanted, while I'm testing the program, I want to know what random number was chosen. Because if I don't know what random number was chosen, I don't know whether I can test it correctly. So I wrote it out. And then I came down and I said, okay, now I want the user to guess. So I put up a prompt, and window.prompt, as I've mentioned before, you do not need to write window.dot. It's fine, but you don't need it. You can just write prompt. Pass integer means take whatever they turn it, they put, put in, and try to turn it into an integer. If they enter an A, obviously I can't do it. But if they enter a 3.2, I can do it. And they will change it, yeah.
So you said the math for function was to only have integers, right?
Yes. Yeah. And when it rounds floor, I think floor rounds differently too. I'd actually have to look that up. I don't remember. So now I'm saying, compare the random number that the random number generator came up with to the guess. And notice the double equal like we just did on the one that you just did a few minutes ago. And I say, okay, if it's equal, document right, you got it. Else, the random number is greater than my guess, Okay, so if the random number is greater than my guess, then I write out your guess is too low. Otherwise, I write your guess is too high. Okay? So, now what I've got is this. Okay, I've got a program where I say start. I generate a random number. And I write it out, but that's kind of an extra, so I'm not putting that in. Then I get the guess. Then I compare the random number to the guess. Compare equal. Okay? And if it's equal, then I write out the message that they got it. If it's not, I want to give them a hint. So I say, okay, is the random number greater than the guess? And if the answer is yes, then I give them a message about low. Otherwise, I give them a message about high. And then I stop. So now I want to make it that they have to guess until they get it right. Okay, so I want to have them guess until they get it right. So how would I, what have I got to do to make that happen? I've got to make a loop so that it does it over and over again. And the loop is going to keep doing it until they get it right. Right? What gets me out of the loop is they make the right guess. It gets them out of the loop. So if I go and look at the next program, I'm sorry, bear with me today. I really made a bad judgment about where I should be. So if I put out enter your guess, and I know it's a 3, and I put out a 4, it says your guess is too high. And then it asks for another, and if I put in a 2, it tells me it's too low. And if I put in a 1, it tells me it's too low. And if I put in a 3, I got it. So here's what I did. And I decided to do a loop where I tested at the bottom because I wanted them to have to do it once. I wanted them to have to make a guess once. So by putting the do at the top and the while and the condition down at the bottom, I forced them to check once. Okay? So basically that's what I did. Is I put in a do loop and I generated the random number outside the do loop because I don't want the random number to change. I took in the prompt from the user inside the loop because I want the prompt to keep changing. I want people to keep entering a new number till they get it right. And then I put in the loop that said do while the random number is not equal to my guess. So I want to keep doing this while the random number is not equal to my guess. If they guess it, I want to get out. Does that make sense? Okay. And then I decided to take it one step further. Okay? And that is that I want to have them decide whether or not they want to play again. So my first pass on this was just one guess. Then my second pass was, I'm going to let you guess until you get it. Then my third pass is going to be, I will let you choose to play again. Okay? So this one I'm putting in one do loop. Okay? And then we'll add a second. So if I start out here, again, I say I want to start. I wanted to generate a random number. I wanted to take in from the user a guess. If the random number equals the guess that I want to put out, you got it. The random number is greater than the guess. I want to put out the message that says low. Otherwise, I want to put out the message that says high. And now I have a decision down here while the random number is not equal to my guess. So I want to say random number not equal to the yes. And if that is true, I want to go back and come in up here and do the yes again. So I want to go back up and do the yes again. So the random number is not equal to the yes. I want to go back up and do the guess again. If it is equal, I've already given them a message. I'm out of here. Okay? So that's where my loop is. And notice my loop is going in back up at the guess. Now on the next one, down here, for the third one, I want to ask about doing it. I want to ask about another game. And so that's going to involve another loop. So I'm going to ask about another game. And if they say yes, they'd like to play another game, I'm going to go back in there and get them a new random number so that they can play another game. So when I ask them about another game, I'm going to put a second loop in here. Okay. Actually, I want to make sure I capture that. And the last one, as I said, is this one. Enter your guess. I'm going to get it right. So I put in a 1. Do you want to play again, yes or no? I put in a yes. Enter your guess. I put in a 4. Guess is too low. I put in a 5. Do you want to play again? Actually, no. And I'm out of here. So if I look at this code, as I said, at the bottom here, I say, put up a prompt. You want to play again? And if the user wants to play again, then I will go back. So this is a second loop that says, while play again equals no. Okay, so as long as it equals no, I will go back and do it. Okay, so I've now got a loop within a loop. The inner loop controls the game. The outer loop is, I want to play again. So I go back and get a new random number and let them play again. Okay? Think about that. If you have questions, ask me. I am took too much cold medicine, I think, because I definitely feel in a bubble. So anyway, we will try again if you have questions after break. Yeah.
So I know this program is like kind of meant to run in Firefox, and like you can see that
right.
your guess is too low, too high messages as you're going. Is there a way to like compensate for that in Chrome, or like do you? How often do you have to practice?
No, document write is what the problem is.
Yeah.
And there's another way of doing that called DOM, if you're interested in looking it up. And if you follow the DOM rules, then it's not a problem.
Okay.
And that's the more later version of it, but it's a little more complex, so I don't tend to do it in this class. I do it in my Java class. Okay, in the 5 minutes that we have left, I want to talk about something I want you to think about doing for homework. Or I want you to do for homework, but first think about doing it. Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors has how many possible solutions?
Nine,
somebody said, right? Yeah. There's nine possibilities, right? Okay. If you put all of the combinations together, if the computer and the user, so you're going to take in a, like the guessing game, you're going to generate a random for the computer, and you're going to have the user pick a number. Okay, now, there was a complicated way of doing this, and that is having the computer generate a number and then turning it into a word. I wouldn't recommend doing that. I just let the computer generate a number and say one is going to stand for rock, two is going to stand for paper, three is going to stand for scissors. Okay, that just makes life a lot easier. So if the computer generates a 1, the user could do a 1, a 2, or a 3, right? If the computer generates a 2, the user can do a 1, 2, or 3. If the computer generates a 3, the user can do a 1, 2, or 3. So that's the 9 possibilities that you have. Okay. Now, 3 of those can kind of be chopped off at the beginning. Because if the user and the computer enter the same thing, that's a tie. That's a tie. That's a tie. We don't care what numbers they are. If the computer and the user enter the same thing, it's a tie. Okay? So now we've got the fact of 6 more things that we have to deal with. Okay? Now, you can ask them in simple ifs, or you can ask them in compounds. You can look at the ifs and say, okay, if the computer equals 1 and the user equals 2, then what does that tell me?
So you'll either win or lose?
Well, which one? If the computer has a 1, that's rock, right?
User wins.
And the user has a 2, that's paper, then who wins?
User user.
The user. Okay? So the user wins. So those are the kinds of questions that you have to ask. If the computer is equal to a 1, the user is equal to a 2, the computer wins. Okay? Now, you can ask right at the beginning if the computer entry is equal to the user entry, it's a tie. And that eliminates 3 questions that you have to ask. You can do a compound and say, if computer equals 1 and user equals 2, or come up with another thing where the user wins and list all of the things that the user wins going along. Okay. So basically, you've got to figure out a way to write this program.